So to answer this question, I'm going to launch into a bit of a spiel on ecological overshoot, because understanding overshoot is critical for anyone interested in this topic. So climate change is just a symptom of something much larger, something called anthropogenic ecological overshoot. And essentially, overshoot has a range of symptoms that we know of, and we're seeing them all around us. And they include climate change and ocean acidification and biodiversity loss and ecosystem collapse and all sorts of other things. And I'd love to go into these, but unfortunately, we don't have time. But I'll just talk a bit more about overshoot. And I'd like to say as well that these other symptoms, while they're not covered very much in the media, are some of them, to me, are even more concerning than climate change and more immediate also. So I recently wrote a peer-reviewed paper with a number of my colleagues called World Scientists Warning, a Behavioral Crisis Driving Ecological Overshoot. And I figure some of you might have read the paper. The response has been absolutely overwhelming. It has an attention score on the 98th percentile, which is far better than I ever expected. And it's approaching 12, actually more than that now, I think about 13,000 reads in just a couple of months and downloads. So it's doing well, which is great. In the paper, we define overshoot as the human consumption of natural resources at rates faster than they can be replenished, and entropic waste production in excess of Earth's assimilative and processing capacity. How does this essentially come about is through increases in consumption and waste and population. And previously, large expansions of the human enterprise were held in check by negative feedback in the form of disease and resource depletion, and things like that. But in the last few hundred years, our access to easy, what we call exosomatic energy in the form of fossil fuels, has enabled us to reduce these feedbacks. And subsequently, our population and our consumption and our waste has gone through the roof and has led us into this state of ecological overshoot. And I mentioned population, consumption, and waste. I call these the three levers of overshoot, and they're worth remembering, because they're critical and everything seems to come back to them. And there are some absolutely remarkable figures when it comes to highlighting just how anomalous the last few hundred years have been for our species and a multitude of other species, unfortunately, as a result, and the broader ecosphere. The most remarkable of these figures, I think, is around population growth. And one of the figures I like to talk about, and we've also got in the paper, is that it took us 250,000 years to reach a population of 1 billion. And then with fossil fuels, it took us 200 years to go from 1 billion to 8 billion. And that last billion was added in just 11 years. Our esteemed colleague, Bill Rees, often says that our species is in the late stage of a one-off boom-bust cycle. And I really think that anyone with a basic understanding of ecology would find it difficult to disagree with them. So while our access to energy enables ecological overshoot and its symptoms like climate change and ocean acidification and these other things, it is undoubtedly human behavior that drives overshoot. And the behaviors driving overshoot, or what we refer to in the Institute as overshoot behaviors, are now displayed and exploited to the extent that collectively they constitute what we've termed a crisis of human behavior, or the human behavioral crisis. In the paper, we refer to this as specifically the consequences of the innate suite of human behaviors that were once adaptive in early hominid evolution, but have now been exploited to serve the global industrial economy. And although that definition is evolving slightly, the main thing to understand is that in its most rudimentary form, overshoot and its symptoms are a physical problem. It's the physical result of our physical behaviors in the physical world. At present, these behaviors are the product of a whole raft of different things, including the intentional exploitation, like we talk about in the paper. And you can read more about it in the paper if you do want to read it. But essentially, our behaviors come down to our biology and our environment. And the most progressive movements that I see are about changing attitudes or beliefs or values as if they're synonymous with our behaviors. And of course, they play a role in influencing our behavior, as a load of other things do also. But they're not the same thing. And what I mean is that when you're changing attitudes or values, it doesn't guarantee a specific behavioral outcome. And right now we need specific behavioral outcomes. We can't just turn off the taps anymore. We actually have to restore the ecosphere, which requires very specific behaviors. We need to essentially reverse a few hundred years of geoengineering, which was us all going to work for a few hundred years geoengineering the planet. And they came about, this geoengineering has come about from easy to perform, hugely beneficial behaviors. So we need to find the equivalent that's going to require the widespread adoption of comparatively easy, beneficial, and quite specific behaviors. And that they won't come about just by changing values or changing attitudes alone. They will only come about if we anchor ourselves in behavior and design what is needed to perform at our ecological peak. Once we know what that looks like, what those specific behaviors are, we can work backward from there. In other words, we need to start by designing the future at a behavioral level. And all of this is relevant to answering this question. So in the past, we haven't had to think about our behaviors in the way that we do now, because it was fine for maladaptive drivers to exist because they didn't have existential consequences. But now they do. And the specific behaviors that we collectively display over the coming decades will be critical to the survival of not only our species, but of all of millions of other species and potentially all complex life on Earth. So imagine if we designed the social norms and the social boundaries that drive our behaviors in relation to overshoot, if we actually actively designed them to be as ecologically restorative and as beneficial as possible. And I'm not just talking about curbing maladaptive behaviors and looking at meeting our needs through the current lens or the current paradigm. I'm talking about completely looking at human needs outside of the current paradigm. If we're doing things through the current paradigm, we're likely to be building in a multitude of redundancies and inefficiencies into the new behaviors that we're looking to promote. So even our idea of needs comes from the current paradigm and is severely distorted, in my opinion. This is, as another thing Bill Rees always says, this is the single most anomalous period in human history. And I often think of it in the sense of, well, if it is the single, well, it is. I mean, it definitely is the single most anomalous period in human history. Should we be designing our future norms based on what we have right now? I think we should be extremely cautious about anything we consider normal right now, to be honest. So in saying all that, I'm yet to see anything that says it isn't possible for us to behaviorally design the new norms of the future. We know how to effectively shape human behavior. And this is a really core part of the work that we're doing in the Institute. So now that I've kind of covered off the sort of background I would like to, of our current predicament and why it's larger than just climate, I want to sort of swing back around to the question. So to get back to the question, this is a behavioral crisis, whether you look at just the climate side or some of the other symptoms of overshoot. It is a crisis of our behavior, and that means we need behavior change. And declaring climate emergencies or anything else that simply serves to raise awareness or concern is an incredibly ineffective way of driving behavior change. It is not the first tool you would pick up if your objective was to drive behavior change. And you can see with data from Yale, concern and awareness in the US in regard to climate change has increased for quite some time. But what's changed in our behavior there? Not a lot. In fact, I think you could probably say that things are getting worse in a lot of ways. So why is that? Well, that's because the drivers of our maladaptive behavior remain in place and are, I think, getting more pervasive. So until we treat this as a behavioral crisis and address the drivers of our behavior beyond things like these defaults of if we raise awareness, the behavior will change, which is just completely flawed. Until we start looking at this as a crisis of human behavior and then looking at the drivers of that behavior that exist in our society and start turning those drivers in the direction where we need them to go, we're not going to see meaningful change.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.
That was Dr. Joseph Merz from the New Zealand Merz Institute and Overshoot Behavior Lab. This short interview was hosted by Brad Zarnett for the nonprofit climate group Climobilize. You can find the multi-interview event at climobilize.com. It's on YouTube, or look for the link in my show blog at ecoshock.org. Just a couple of comments on that. Everything we hear from Radio EcoShock guests confirm it is not a lack of knowledge or technology preventing humans from avoiding an overheated planet. We are in a behavioral crisis for sure. But I question how much agency anyone has over human behavior and worry about exactly who will design our future-friendly lives. I will outline a few thorny questions in my blog, and I hope to talk with Dr. Merz about this later this spring. I'm Alex Smith. Thank you for your support, for listening again, and caring about our world.